Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am sporting my Coco's Pub, established in 1985. I was established in 1968. It's big birthday week around here. You'll be hearing our birthday show from Pizza John's over in Essex with lots of friends. Leonard Raskin joined us. Brett Steele joined us. One of my best friends in the world, John Keller, sat in for a segment. The original phone caller at WITH in 1992 with Marv Albert. And by the way, congratulations to Kenny Albert on number 500 with Fox. I shared some of that out on our Twitter over the weekend. I know none of you see our Twitter anymore because of the fascist creep that owns it. The Maryland Lottery puts us out on the road. And we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have nachos on our mamas on the half shell in Owings Mills. Like, that's going to happen because I'm getting an oyster with Finn, and we're going to celebrate the life of Scunny at some point later in the month. But we're going to get back to Coco's. I was at Coco's on Friday night with my aforementioned John Keller eating. He had his first Coco's crab cake on Friday night. And as I told him, the coconut shrimp there with the raspberry jalapeno thing, that's a whole game changer thing that I have to explain to people when they go over there. But we had a great experience at Coco's. We'll be getting back out there with Marcella. So I'm doing my own little birthday tour. I haven't been to Costas yet, but I'll get over there for some Crab Imperial because I want to feel like the king. Maybe I could take King Henry to Costas for some Crab Imperial. Luke Jones joins us now. He is a Baltimore Luke. He's going to be around all week doing sort of a disjointed week when you play Monday Night Football, the Tampa thing. I guess the game's going to be at Raymond James Stadium, where I had a very good night about 24 years ago as well. How are you? I mean, that didn't get much better than this. Your birthday, my birthday. You got Pizza John's in the fridge right now. Baltimore greater than Washington. Like, all of the good vital signs you want to see from the football team, I think, with a four-game winning streak, with good health, good health, good health. I'm not jinxing anybody, but I'm saying it because it is a part of all of this. We beat up the defense a little bit, praise the offense a little bit. I'd like to think about where the Ravens are in the greater scheme of all of it, which is they're a top five NFL team, unquestioned at this point. And more than that, dude, as I look around the league, and maybe this is me being an old guy, or maybe it's just having seen a lot of seasons, it's a lot of bad teams. I mean, they're like, the league's not strong or equitable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think 6 weeks into the season, you're still trying to figure out some teams. I think some teams have presented themselves like Cleveland. I think Dallas is a disaster right now, for example, a team that high expectations, but boy, they stink. I mean, the Lions destroyed them on Sunday. But you know, you're still finding your way, and it's still a reminder that it's a week-to-week league. And look, parity is a thing. And when you have the salary cap and when you have some teams with franchise quarterbacks, other teams very clearly not having franchise quarterbacks, some teams having franchise quarterback in salary only, like Deshaun Watson, or I'll even throw Trevor Lawrence in there. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, Tua with the Dolphins has been unavailable, obviously, with the unfortunate latest concussion for him. So you have lots of teams with lots of problems. I mean, look
How
at
about the
someone like San.
Jets? I mean, what a ish show that was last week to have Joe Douglas find out that his coach was fired on the internet, literally.
I mean, you have that. I mean, at this point, when you're waking up Monday morning after how Dallas and Jacksonville played on Sunday, I'm holding my breath with those situations, with those head coaches. Although Jerry Jones said that he's not making a change because I don't know, because he knows better than everyone
Look,
else, I
there's
guess.
always a team that's 1-5
But
after 6 weeks feeling bad about themselves with a veteran quarterback, a veteran coach. Everybody's making a lot of money. Let's be honest, right? I mean,
yeah.
Deshaun Watson's not the only guy making a lot of money. He's just making the most. But as we get into this, it's nice to be on the other side of that where, and you know, the people in Washington can feel like they have a good team and a good quarterback and some prosperity. But I don't know, man. There's like five teams that can win a Super Bowl in my mind right now, five or six. And then there's 15 teams that really kind of stink in my mind. Like, just they're not going to be playoff teams. They stink. And I can tell you what 15 they are. And then there's five or six that are, to your point, completely on fire. You know what I mean? Like on fire in a way where they're going to stink a year from now. A year from this week, they're going to stink, and you know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still tough to kind of figure it out. I mean, look at a team like San Francisco, who still has high expectations, and I still think has the makings of being a really good team, but They've got to get healthy, right? I mean, Christian McCaffrey is that important, and who knows what's going on with his Achilles, you know, which it's so odd. It went from week one where it sounded like he was going to play, and even national reporters were saying that, and he's still out 6 weeks later. So what's the deal, right? I mean, so you have some of that. You have teams that have been injured. You've had teams that underperform. You have teams with new coaches that are inspiring. You have teams with coaches that are on the hot seat. In the case of Robert Saleh, already gone, you know, and who knows what's going to happen with Doug Peterson, in the days, or even as someone's listening to our conversation, because of how bad that's looked. I mean,
I gotta
Jackson.
fire him in London, right?
Well, I mean, maybe not in London, but I mean, we
Well, they're there
forget.
all week, right? Because they played the back-to-back. So they
I
play the
no,
Patriots this week,
I
yeah.
understand, but I mean, Jacksonville at Thanksgiving last year, Nestor, we were talking about the Jaguars maybe having a chance to be the number one seed in the AFC, and I think they've won like two games since then. I mean, that's how bad it's been for them. So, look, as far as do I think 15 teams stink? I mean, I guess it depends what your definition of stink
All
is,
right,
but
hang on. 15 teams that can't make the playoffs.
well, but keep in mind, Nestor,
Patriots,
I
Dolphins,
mean,
Jets.
I think
There's three. I'm not even out of the AFC East, and I'm already at the. Come on, man. Browns stink.
you do realize 14 teams make the playoffs,
Well, I'm giving you the 15 that don't. How about that? Jaguars stink. Titans stink. Colts stink. Sorry, Joe.
don't think they
Raiders
stink.
stink. Broncos stink. Let's go to the NFC.
So,
Giants stink.
according to you, four teams are going to make the playoffs.
Cowboys stink. I mean, all those teams in the NFC North, I guess, are okay. I mean, I think the Bears probably stink, but I don't. I mean, beating the Jaguars, what does that tell me? Panthers stink. Saints stink, despite how they played in week one. Rams stink. Cardinals, they got a quarter, but they stink. So how many's that? Did you do the math?
Like I said, you have about so four teams are making the playoffs total.
Maybe that's only 13 or 14 that stink, but I think I got the 15.
don't think all those teams stink that you just mentioned, but
What? Maybe not the
I don't
Bears,
think
but the rest
Indianapolis
of them stink.
I
Make
don't
a
think in
case being a fan for any of those
I don't
teams that
think
you think.
Indianapolis stinks. I mean, they're 3-3. How does that stink?
Okay.
Like, I mean, again, it depends on what your definition of stink is. Like,
I don't want to
let's
be insulting, but Joe Flacco's their quarterback, so maybe that in my mind they don't have their act together, and I do question whether Joe can win 11 games at this point in his career.
Well,
But
you
if
don't
he
have to win
can,
11 games
Joe's
to
done a
not
lot of
stink.
things. Joe's done a lot of things, you know.
Right. I mean, I just think your definition of stink is pretty expansive, whereas I'm saving stink for Cleveland,
Somebody out
for
there is
New
like on my
England,
birthday listening and saying, Nestor
for
just
Jacksonville.
disparaged Joe Flacco. He's never done that before.
I
He's
know,
Mr.
right?
Joe. Joe Flacco will go down in my life and my history as being the greatest thing that ever happened to the football team here and fun and the city. And you can have Lamar, you can have Trent Dilfer, you can have Johnny U, but I saw Flacco come in and go out. I watched him be a winner and I wrote the book on it. And
What are you going to do when Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl?
not write a book on it, but praise him, you know?
I was just
How about if
tweaking
it's a,
you.
here's the difference. It's an
Okay, you could
if with
say,
him. It's a
okay.
did with Joe.
Okay, he did it once. I mean, if Lamar does it once, then
Lamar's already got a statue and hasn't won anything. And Joe won an MVP and is running around leading
Wait, Joe
not
won a
the
Super Bowl
Baltimore Colts, but
MVP.
he is wearing this stolen logo on his hat.
Yeah.
So look, I'm just saying I don't think the Colts are winning the Super Bowl with Joe. Maybe
No, I don't
that's
either. That doesn't mean you
I'm being
stink, though, is
mean.
my
I don't think
point.
the team's good enough, and I'm wonder if how long Joe can do this. And I love Joe. I love Joe.
Sure. Well,
But the Colts stink. So there, take that. Put that in your Ursay and smoke it.
I mean, I just your definition of stink is, if you can't win the Super Bowl, that if you stink, okay, that's a pretty expansive
You can't win a playoff game, you stink. You got to go back home. That's why the Orioles right now have to go back home. We'll get into that
The
later.
Orioles don't stink.
They don't stink.
Anyway,
They don't stink. You're right.
but
They
not,
made the playoffs.
but your overall point, I mean, yeah, you have some haves and you have some, and for me,
I'm just thinking if you ask any of the fans of any of the teams I just named, they'll say their team stinks.
I mean, I don't, but 3-3 doesn't stink to me. I mean, stink is
Broncos
for,
stink, though.
stink is
Give me
for
those
New
3-3.
England. Stink is for Cleveland. Stink is for Jacksonville. Stink is for the Raiders.
You're right. There's only 10 teams that stink, not 15.
But I'm just saying, let's not put 500 teams in with teams that might win two games all year. I mean, Carolina is horrendous.
But there was always some team
The
with some
Rams.
Ryan Tannehill or some Jared Goff that you felt like, well, maybe they can win 11 games. Sam Darnold, I'll throw him out because he's in there, whether he can win or not. Kirk Cousins will be another guy. All of these guys that aren't Mahomes, Lamar,
Well,
Aaron Rodgers, you
when
just
you
say to
put
yourself, can we win or do we stink or are we 8-8? I know they can't really be 8-8. They can only be
right.
9-8 or 8-9. But in my mind, I have not seen as many teams on my birthday, 6 weeks into the season, where I'm like, man, there's a lot of teams that stink more than I thought because Deshaun Watson's not getting paid to stink, right? Trevor Lawrence is not getting paid to stink. Right. I mean, I'm just talking about teams that thought that they had a quarterback. The Tua situation is what it is, and including the Hawk Tua situation, Sam Darnold. But you draft these kids, whether it's the kid in Arizona, they have a quarterback and they still have one win or two wins at this point. You still might have a quarterback in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. You're trying to fire the coach. In New York last week, they fired the coach and the quarterback's 100 years old. So like I'm just saying, for all of this billions of dollars and all the management and all the hard knocks and all of the, National Hispanic Heritage Month and all of the thing that they do to try to be good, you wake up on my birthday 6 weeks in and a third of the league stinks. Stinks. Like, if the Ravens have any of the Ravens play Cleveland 2 weeks from now, they better not lose. These teams are bad. That's it. And that's my red zone analysis. So I'm sorry. I'm
Fair
sorry I
enough,
laughed.
but I almost feel like what shouldn't a third of the teams shouldn't that isn't that kind of how it works? A third of the teams are good, a third of the teams are really mediocre, and then a third of the teams stink. I mean, that's
I
sort of how
question
it's
the
supposed to
mediocre part at
work.
this point,
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Well, like the 49ers in Seattle at 3-3, somebody's going to win there. That's fine. All these teams
Right.
stacked up in the NFC North, and now with the Lions losing Hutchinson, I mean, it's a
I mean, I
gruesome
think the
injury
NFC
there.
North, I mean, even the Bears, I think, are decent. I mean, I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl, but I think they're decent. I think their defense is good, or at least better. And I think you look at Caleb Williams, he's really come on the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, I hear the point you're making.
Well, the
And I'll say,
Commanders aren't going to the Super Bowl because their defense stinks, right? I mean, like, we watch that.
I mean, but I think they're the best team in that division right now. And look, I say this as someone who has a very passionate Philadelphia, sports fan in my life. I don't think the Eagles are very good at this point in time. I don't think Eagles fans would, but that doesn't mean
The fans
they
yelling at the
necessarily
coach
stink.
behind the bench when the coach was going into the stands in Philly after beating
So,
Cleveland.
but I want to go back to something you just said. I mean, I think some of this stems from, I mean, some teams, I think, and some owners and general managers and coaches are a little too eager to pay quarterbacks, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, look what he got. You haven't even mentioned Dallas. Dallas stinks. I mean, you want to talk about a team that, for
You're
looking what
three
it
and
looks like on
three.
paper, well, but when you lose in the fashion that they're losing at home, what are you hanging your hat on? I mean, okay, Dak Prescott's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Big whoop. That guy's very mediocre this year. Very mediocre. Their defense, and now it's injured on top of not being very good, but their defense, I mean, Detroit embarrassed them on. Detroit was, they ran a trick play to their offensive tackle when they're up by five touchdowns late in the game. I mean, that's how much disrespect the Lions had for the Cowboys. And good, I'm all for it because Jerry Jones and that, whatever that is there, I mean, talk about someone that's living on the past.
Oh, dude, when you and I
Beautiful
went down there a
facility,
year
but.
ago and walked through that place, I'm like, they're never going to win a championship here. It's just
At
no.
least with Jerry owning the team. I mean, it's to me, it's so evident and obvious that this is Pat. Look, business wise, what he's done for the league in terms of maximizing profit and turning this into a multi-billion dollar operation. He's done as much as any of the owners in that way, right? So I'm
Football
not.
players don't need to go to practice in art galleries, you
Well,
know, like literally in
how about the
Dubai.
fact that he landed on the practice field in his helicopter? I mean, so that, to me, that's where I look at something and say, relative to expectations, boy, the Cowboys really stink. And I had my questions about them. Let's be clear. I wasn't
They could
picking
have
them to
used
win.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, they know, no question. And Derrick Henry's made it known. I mean, he lives there. He's made it known. He's couched it in the proper way to say that, yes, the Ravens were always a good fit.
That's what he
All
thought he was going. He wanted to
things
wear that
being,
star on his helmet.
I would almost guarantee you, if all things being equal, he would have gone to Dallas if Dallas wanted him. Dallas didn't want him, and the Ravens did and said, hey, I'll go play with Lamar Jackson. I'm cool with that. And it's worked out beautifully for the Ravens and Henry. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what you just described, it comes back to such a basic concept, Nestor. Do you have a franchise quarterback or not? And I don't mean a high-priced quarterback, right? Because there are high-priced quarterbacks in this league, like Deshaun Watson, like Trevor Lawrence, like Dak Prescott, who and I don't want to put Prescott too much in that category, but he hasn't played very well. I know it. He's on one of my fantasy football teams, and he's cost me a couple weeks. But you look at these teams that have a guy that they've drafted or a guy that they thought was going to be their guy in the case of Cleveland, and they spend all this money, and in some cases they spend assets, and you see where it lands them. I mean, look at Carolina right now. I mean, Bryce Young was benched for Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, who is 4 years past his prime, and his prime was never all that special. I mean, he was a good playoff caliber quarterback, but never for a second did anyone think Andy Dalton was going to win you a Super Bowl. So how bad did Bryce Young have to be for the Panthers to bench him in favor of Andy Dalton? And believe me, Bryce Young is really, really, really bad, because there's some other signs about that Carolina roster that, okay, it's, don't get me wrong, they're a long ways off, but he was playing so bad that, made the rest of the roster just look completely inept. And Andy Dalton's at least gotten some small level of functional play out of
Well,
them.
you mentioned
So,
Flacco with the Colts, and they have a chance to win now. They're 3-3. You
but
don't
they're.
think they stink, right? And they have a quarterback. And I had Mike Silver on this week, so I want to give a plug to my buddy Mike. And you can go listen to the piece. And he wrote a book on the Shanahan tree. It's called The Why Is Everything. But Mike is the guy that when I get him on and talk about Lamar, he's like, the Colts could have had him for just pay him, or at least, you know, hold the knife to the Ravens' throat to
Yeah.
pay him and make it work a year ago. And instead, they're like, nah, we'll take Anthony Richardson and look at where they are in their place. That if they wanted to put the $50 million up and guarantee Lamar money, Carolina could have done it. New Orleans could have done it. A lot of places could have made a run. Tampa, and this week, Miami. How much would Lamar have loved to have played for the Dolphins, right? Like, he would have done anything to have played for the Dolphins. They didn't want him. So, there is a little bit of it. WBAL didn't want me. It's my birthday. I'm allowed to say anything I want this week. But I would say I know that feeling, and I think for being passed over and all of those things. But the Colts are in a bit of a no man's land too. And you mentioned these washed up quarterbacks coming back. How about Sam Darnold making a second run at, hey, I was a lottery pick, while some of the other names on that ledger are just like long, long gone out of the league and never to be heard from again. The quarterback thing, you're burying Bryce Young right now. I don't know how to bury a 23-year-old quarterback that knows nothing but dysfunction. You know, I mean, look at what this kid in Washington has found down there, just with a new owner and grown-ups and Dan Snyder not upskirting cheerleaders down there, that they can actually look like a real program quickly, quickly.
Sure. And look, that's a big part of this. I mean, your environment is a big part of this. Just to finish, a point that you just made. Yeah, Indianapolis, some of the teams you mentioned with Lamar, some of those teams, practically speaking, from a cap standpoint, asset standpoint, that would have, they would have required to trade the Ravens premium picks, all of that weren't practical. Indy was the team we talked about, though. And I think they're in an interesting position because they have. It's not exactly like the Cleveland situation last year, because Anthony Richardson's done some nice things, but he's raw. I mean, he didn't play a lot in college. I mean, that was the thing about him coming out. He hadn't played a whole lot of college football. So he was very raw. He was very green. So you're in a position where Joe Flacco's winning you some football games. And look, Joe didn't put up eye-popping numbers on Sunday. Let's be clear about that. But he's put up good numbers since taking over for Richardson with the hip issue.
If he
And
had
you're
Derrick Henry there, he'd be okay. He'd be better off. You know, Derrick Henry
he's
makes a
got
lot of
Jonathan
things
Taylor.
better.
I know he's banged up right now. Jonathan Taylor's great though. I mean, you're still talking about one of the very best backs in the league. But I hear what you're saying. But
He had his
the
own
point.
issues last year holding out, right? Yeah.
But well, and he's been banged up at different points over the last couple of years. But the point I'm making though is, if you're Indianapolis, what do you do? Because you have this backup experienced quarterback who's playing well, and you've won some games here. Look, I know 3-3 is not great, and look, they're not winning a Super Bowl with either guy this year, right? I mean, that's just where they are. Very, very few teams, any team that doesn't have a proven franchise quarterback is not winning a Super Bowl in 2024. That's just the truth. I think Nick Foles is going to end up being the last of that breed, I think, unless I'm very wrong. And look, I've been very wrong before about things, so who knows? But if you're Indy, in a big picture sense, it still behooves you to develop Anthony Richardson and not give up on a guy who, frankly, just doesn't have many starts under his belt. And he got hurt last year, of course. But at the same time,
Joe's giving you a better chance to win this week.
and you've got a, you've got a GM there who 6, 7 years ago, Ballard was so highly regarded. Maybe 5 years ago, let's say. I'm trying to think of the timing of when he took over there. But things haven't gone great for them over the last 5 years. When you kind of think of
Well,
where the
Andrew Luck, that changed
sure,
everything, right, for that franchise, yeah.
well, and obviously there was a previous regime there, but at the same time, like at some point, it's like you got to win. You fired coaches, you had cap space, and you drafted this quarterback, and you've augmented the roster. It's like you got to win. So,
Well, that would be your point to cap the whole thing off, is all these places spent money on a coach, money on a quarterback, stunk, drafted somebody or positioned themselves, and now to your point, a third of the team, I said half, you say a third, really stink. And they have a quarterback with a big salary, a coach with a big reputation, and probably a really pissed off locker room. I can't think Joel Bitonio is real pleased that Deshaun Watson's is starting now. You know what I mean? And that they let Flacco walk out the door, and just in a general sense, players know, and that's where the revolt. Like in New York, that thing's so dysfunctional, the Jets I'm talking about, that I don't know how anybody in there, if you're an agent and you have a player in there, you're like, dude, that's just a it's an issue. And that's a third of the league right now because of the turmoil that happens when you're 2-4, 1-5.
Well, and see, you made mention of teams that stink. I mean, I'd rather stink from the standpoint of at least I'm in position to potentially get my guy in the next year's draft. What about these teams that are middle of the pack that, I mean, that was Washington's issue for all these years, right? I mean, they'd be in a position that they were rarely so bad that they were picking second or third or something like that. But they weren't making the playoffs. So then you're picking 12th.
You're
You're
picking
picking
a left tackle,
14th.
or
You're not getting a franchise quarter. I mean, now I say this with no disrespect to someone who tragically died a couple years ago, but Nestor, I had forgotten who Washington's quarterback was the last time the Ravens had faced them. It was Dwayne Haskins. I mean, there's a perfect
Wow.
example. Like, I literally had to look it up, and I say that with no disrespect. I mean, tragic and, sad for a young person to lose his life in the fashion that he did. But it just speaks to where Washington's been all these years in terms of you're drafting someone maybe in the middle of the first round, or you can luck out like the Ravens did, like part luck and part vision, and you draft Lamar Jackson 32nd, and I mean you're what the Ravens have been. And look, I know they're chasing Kansas City in January, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about that as we get to December and January. But go look at what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson, who, yeah, is making a lot of money, but go look at the numbers. I mean, with Derrick Henry and with Zay Flowers and with a better supporting cast and an improving offensive line that's easing the burden on Lamar, he's still putting up monster numbers. I mean, go look at what he's doing right now as a passer and as a runner. I mean, even as a passer, you look at it. Lamar, I think right now in passing yards, he ranks seventh in the National Football League. I mean, we've talked about it for years about the Ravens, even when they've passed, it hasn't been and passed effectively. It's rarely been high volume, but they're even producing through the air volume-wise at this point in time. And you know, I'll throw another number out there. Lamar Jackson has been sacked 7 times in 6 games. Bryce Young's been sacked that many times, and he got benched after week two. So, I mean, Deshaun Watson right now. And one thing we know from an analytics standpoint, sacks tend to be on quarterbacks more than we give them credit for. We tend to blame the offensive line too much. And of course, it's, you know, it's a give take relationship there. You can't have a bad offensive line, but sacks from an analytics standpoint has been proven to be a little bit more of a quarterback stat than we give it credit for. Deshaun Watson has been sacked somewhere in the neighborhood. I think it's 30. I mean, I had it in front of me and now I lost it. He's up. He's been sacked 31 times in 6 games. I mean, that's incredible. Now, their offensive line has really fallen off. That's a big part of it. But a big part of it is Deshaun Watson has no conviction playing quarterback right now. He's holding on to the ball and holding it too long, and he's getting sacked. So, I mean, it just speaks to what the Ravens have with their entire operation, but specifically beginning with number eight, with the command that he has with this offense in his second year with Todd Monken and getting them in and out of the right protections and doing what he does with his feet. And those times where, yeah, there is pressure and someone like Sam Hubbard bearing down on him, like he was in Cincinnati last week, and getting away and stiff arming him and throwing a touchdown. So, yeah, of course, Lamar still does the Superman Lamar like things, but the entire operation across the board, it's working and it's working at a high level. And then when you look around and you see all these other teams that, you know, beyond the, I mean, how many established franchise quarterbacks are there in the league right now? I mean, that you feel has a shot in any given year to win a Super Bowl?
Eight. I was going to say
Maybe
eight, and then
eight
two
to
of them get it
10.
taken away from them because their team stinks,
Yeah.
right?
And
Or other
right.
pieces get hurt, or they have
And of
no
course,
offensive line. I mean,
I
Joe
mean, you
Burrow is in that eight. His team's not.
His defense stinks. I mean, Joe Burrow's having the best year of his career. He looks fantastic. His defense stinks. Now, are the Bengals going to get off the mat to the point where they could still make the playoffs?
Oh, dude, if
Sure.
they make the playoffs, you don't
Sure.
want to play them.
Sure.
But
But
at
at
the
the
same,
same,
you don't want them coming in here and on a 48-degree night, him
sure.
tossing the ball around, and with this defense, and you miss a kick, or we miss the snap this time. Like, I don't want to. The Bengals
Sure.
are a problem. I mean, I
Well,
want them to not be in the playoffs. I
they've
don't
got
want to see. They're a problem because they have one of the eight quarterbacks for me.
they're a problem if their defense gets better. I mean, it's got to get better, though.
Dude, if you're the Ravens and you can see Joe Flacco in the playoffs, and
Of
I don't know,
course.
name somebody else. If you have to see Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, if those are the guys you have to
Yeah.
see in January, and it's Lamar, I don't know. I don't know.
I
I
mean,
mean,
he.
and you do it on the road, maybe. I don't know. They're coming back now. They're going to win some games. Maybe they really are going to win 13 games. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
I've looked at the schedule and said, what weeks are they not the better team? I didn't think Gardner Minshew was going to beat them. I mean, I certainly don't think they're going to lose to Cleveland. I think Tampa's a
Better
tough
not.
game on Monday night.
Sure.
Tampa's a real team. So,
They're putting up points.
I
They're
mean,
scoring points. I mean,
so
that.
as much we're feeling good, they could be 4-3 next Tuesday morning. I mean, like,
Of
and
course.
wouldn't have to play poorly for that to happen. So, but there are is's and is nots and are nots at this point. And I think this is the point we draw it out. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. We've been together at Pizza John's. He has his Pizza John's hat now, so you'll never take that hat off. I think you're gonna be that's gonna be when Rasig draws the cartoon of you, it's gonna be in a Pizza John's hat. Baltimore Luke's the way to find him. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. Big birthday week around here. We've had crab cakes. I've had pizza. I've had fun. I had Todd Rundgren on the show last week, which is a great birthday gift for me. Only thing would be better is if Jim Palmer called in on his birthday on Tuesday. Jim, I love you, Jim. She loved me back. I'm just making that up. If Jim ever wants to come on, he's invited. The Maryland Lottery gives me these Ravens scratch-offs to give away. I'll be giving these away on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Beginning soon, we're going to be doing Mamas on the Half Shell out in Owings Mills very soon. I'm wearing my Coco shirt. I went to dinner at Coco's on Friday, took a big posse of my friends out from Dundalk, had some crab cakes and some Coco shrimp. We're going to get over to Costas. I was at Cooper's North last week eating that delicious blackened chicken sandwich they roll up there. So we got great sponsors doing great things. We'll be back at down at Fadley's again before the holidays as well. All of them ship crab cakes. My boy Hells was eating the crab cakes at Coco's, and I'm like, you know, you can ship them, right? Just one click. Marcella gave him the stuff and like all that. Learn all that stuff online at Baltimore Positive. Click on any of our ads. Click on any of Luke's great content. We have souped up our BaltimorePositive.com experience, and it's only going to get bigger and better as well. Big birthday celebration this week on the air, talking all sorts of things about Essex and Pizza John's and pizza, old stories, baseball stories with John Keller, as well as Luke in regard to the Orioles offseason. But I do want to take a moment. If you do tune in on Tuesday or Wednesday, you will hear the dulcet tones of Phil Jackman. We lost Phil last week at the age of 87. The tapes that I have mainly are from 2003 and 4, but he also joined me in 2016. His last visit with me was when Muhammad Ali died. Phil traveled the world with boxing. He was a boxing insider, an Oriole historian, a Red Sox historian in many, many ways, an NBA historian from the old guard. And I honestly knew Phil through hockey. I went to hockey games. Phil knew as much about hockey as anyone. His brother Frank, his late brother Frank, was a 40-year season ticket holder with the Caps from the beginning. I know they celebrated 50 years this weekend. I watched a little bit of that over the weekend as well, over at Nacho Mama's on Saturday night, as the Caps brought their greats out. The Giants brought their greats out in football on Sunday as well. So anyway, we lost Phil. You'll be hearing Phil. You'll be hearing some Ali stories, some baseball hall. He's a baseball Hall of Fame voter for 30 years, Luke. So we had a hell of a conversation about Jim Rice and Andre Dawson and Bly Levin and all these guys that weren't in the Hall of Fame in 2003 that are now. So, and Pete, and we had did a huge thing on Pete Rose. So there's a lot of stuff. And Phil was a real mentor to me. He was a real godfather for anybody my age or older who read the Baltimore Evening Sun. He was my colleague for 6 years from 1986 to 92. But I was reading Phil at my grandparents' house in Reisterstown. My grandparents got the Evening Sun. My dad never got the Evening Sun. Jack Gibbons was very disappointed when he hired me to hear that I never read his paper, but I was a News American guy. I did read Phil Jackman. And yeah, I'll say this to you, Luke. You are required listening and required reading for all who love you and all who follow your work, and not just your mother and your brother and your sister and your family. I'm lucky I have real fans because my mom died. She can't read it anymore. So, but Phil Jackman was like you, was like me for the less than 10 people that are addicted to my work. He was a must read. When you would pick up the Evening Sun, I'll tell you this, when Phil would write a column, and Phil would admit, if he were alive, as his daughters would admit, he wasn't the cleanest writer. All the editors would say, Phil just throws that issue on a board and needs to be edited. And Phil would say, don't touch my copy. Just same way I would say, don't touch my copy. But Phil, when he would write and would send it in, it'd be the first thing I'd read. I would read. Phil filed his story at 10:30 at night, and I came in to work to do my scoreboard page at 11 o'clock. Between chasing girls, rock and roll, all of that, my hammer jacks, all that, all the high school sport, all the stuff that I was into, with the Orioles statistics I had to get together every night, Phil Jackman was the first thing I would read every night. I can't say that about Stedman at the end, because Steady was writing about he was sort of the old fart like me, as part of us, like always whisting away for the old, pining away for Trent Dilfer, the way I do around here every day, and Ray Lewis. But it is weird. Those things are 25 years old. And at that time in my life, I'm like, why is Steady writing about the 50s and the 80s? I'm like, because it was yesterday. Phil Jackman was required reading, and you had to read Phil. And Luke, I will tell you this, as much of a prick as you might think I am on any given day about anything, any topic, as flippant and as caustic and as blunt as I can be, I got all that from my Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil wrote the TV Repairman, and he wrote something called Reading Time 2 Minutes, which was, you don't know it, it's a godfather of your 12 thoughts. So he was one of the original guys before Eisenberg did his thing, before Stedman did Noteworthy Days. Phil had two columns. He was the TV repairman, which is funny. And he was reading time 2 minutes, which is, I don't have enough for a column. I'm going to write a bunch of thoughts. That we call that Twitter now. So Phil Jackman, the man, the myth, the legend. I loved Phil. Phil loved me. Phil didn't love everybody, but if Phil loved you, he loved you a lot. And Phil and I spent a lot of time together driving down to Capitals games, which I talked about it 2 weeks ago in that Capital Center retro. There's no point where I talk about the Capital Center where I don't talk about Phil Jackman. He was a big, big part of that. Not on the nights when we were like getting blasted with girls and going down for concerts, but he did go to Neil Diamond with me one night. And it was one thing to see da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And it maybe it's because he grew up with that Red Sox thing. That Jackman doing Sweet Caroline. Bah, bah, bah. So I did that with Phil Jackman in the 20th row at a Neil Diamond concert right there in Landover. It's now a parking lot. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. I'm talking about Jackman, so I laugh so I don't cry. But please listen to Phil on Tuesday and Wednesday. It will be the last time his wisdom will be available on AM radio, but I am making it available out on the web. All the audio will be out there. His daughters will cry at some point. It was really good stuff. I listened to it Tuesday morning or Sunday morning. So you'll hear it on Tuesday. You'll hear it on Wednesday. If you hear Phil Jackman around here, it's because I loved him. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.